everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 72.
Four.
Episode first try. Episode 74. I'm Blue Squadron, joined as always by my co-host, Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon VT. I do a lot of MMO gaming content on my channel, and you can find me live over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVT, V before the T.
Right on. And then my boy, Blonde Bear.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear. You can catch me at twitch.tv/blondebear, where I'm chilling and grinding for a second telescope in Black Desert Online.
Wow.
And I like to party.
Ponger! I was going to say, right, he didn't actually say I like to party. I was going to nail you for it. You got there, though. Proud of you right now. So proud of you. All right, so we have a lot to cover. And I know that, like, I don't want this to dominate the entire discussion, so we're going to get it out of the way early.
Yeah, okay.
Like the partner program discussion. I was removed from the partner program. If you haven't seen the video, most people have already seen the video at this point. I'll just speak on it. I'll be honest. Let's be real. The Trump impersonation video was just the last straw in a long line of degradation with my reputation with PA. Because for a long time, I started getting madder and madder with them every time they couldn't support my events. That eroded my relationship with them. I just, like, they just never supported my events. That was really frustrating. And then I made a decent amount of negative content for like 2 or 3 months about the game. Granted, the last 4 weeks or so have been all positive content with the exception of that one video. But that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And I think that it's a funny straw to break the camel's back, because like, if you're gonna remove me for that video, that's just crazy, bro. That's insane, because it was clearly just a parody video. But I'm not the only one that left or got removed. D-Jewels left the following day, and then Sword Kings, who's the top console creator, also was removed from the program. Fake Uni left I don't know, not too long ago as well. So like, most of the negative creators have been removed forcefully or left the partner program in the last month or so. So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts on this. You guys are still validated BDO partners. Don't say anything bad about the game. Jay is listening. like, I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on it. And then, like, are you... How much do you actually feel like you get out of the partner program? Like, honestly. We'll start with Jay. Jay, you have not streamed almost any BDO lately, right? Like, you've been thrown in Liberty pretty exclusive streamer, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been very grateful for the opportunities in the past, and you know, I've just been mostly just on standby in the partner program. And you know, there's some events where they do where you sign up for like the little costumes that they promote, and then like you get a free costume, you get, you know, the free value packs and stuff. That's always been nice to just have. As for my thoughts, I don't know if you want my thoughts yet on you leaving. Should we go to Blonde first about his experience?
Yeah, Blonde. Let's hear your thoughts on, like, what does the Blonde... I already know the answer to this question. So if you don't answer honestly, I'm going to Baja blast you for it. Do you understand? Blonde, what does the partner program give you?
Well, I don't know what you... I don't know what you mean. I love the BDO partner program with Pearl Abyss for Black Desert Online.
And what do they provide you with support as a creator, Blonde?
I love the value packs, the Old Moon blessing, and the Kama Sylvia tree blessing.
There it is, baby! Woo! A $15 value after taxes, baby. Let's go. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I'm gonna be straight up. I am like the lowest tier type of content creator. I turn the stream on, I go live, I play a game, I talk. That's Blonde. Me. I've just been around long enough, okay? Blonde. I'm just kind of grandfathered into this point.
Blonde, you have literally, you just described almost every single creator in the program.
Listen,
I go live, I grind, I talk. Hey. Literally, saying, I show Jay's up. Like, hey, I resemble that statement. Shut up, listen, Jay. Like, what are we talking about?
Listen, they say, hey, we've got this thing. You want to do it? Yes, I'm in. And I'm all aboard. Every time they do those Jeopardy events or any of those things, I love that stuff. When we did the D&D adventure stream, like freaking how many years ago? It was like 4 years ago or something, where they had us run around the thing. I'm all for that. I love that stuff. If I get invited, I'm all game. But I don't do anything outside of just flicking the stream on and playing the game. I'm not going to chalk it up to something else. So, you know, getting a value pack and a tree and all that stuff is cool. I think the big thing about the partner program is just that it's like a... a connecting avenue to get to other content creators that has, like, it's sort of like getting verified on Twitch, right? When you get your check mark, it puts you like a little more verified, so content creators are more open and willing to participate. Even though I think at this point people are willing to openly participate with any content creators, because, you know, group grinding and stuff like that's, you know, a good thing in general. But, you know, I think that that's kind of what a lot of it is, you know. But yeah, when it comes, I definitely want to agree, when it comes to the events and stuff, I think that their concept for like supporting events and stuff is a lot more tamer than like the aspirations of like you as a content creator would want to go to. So
correct.
It's unfortunate.
No, it is what it is. It's not the end of the world. I actually don't really care. Because again, it's not like they were supporting my events or anything before. I really am literally, it's not, they haven't given a contract in a long time. And when they do give contracts, they pay very, very little amounts of money and expect a tremendous amount of work, in return for it. So like, not really super concerned about it. I think my BDO content just kind of continues as it is. Jay, you were going to share your thoughts on why you hate me as a human being. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say something like really cliche, which was, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. And I think a really good example of this was, you know, when you had lost your teaching job a while back, you know, that door closed for you, but, you know, content creation had its double doors swing wide open for you, and you've been able to grow a community in this online space that continue to support you despite what game you play or what content you create. I saw in the video you posted about being kicked out of the partner program, the GM wrote a message to you talking about, you know, the creator code of conduct, which, you know, I think most of us here know that Blue can be
really passionate. Yeah, that's the word we're gonna use.
He says, you know, he speaks his mind, he's blunt, he's very authentic in that way, and I think a lot of people appreciate that about his content. You know, unfortunately, that's sometimes that passion, the bluntness, can be sometimes, you know, like misinterpreted or miscommunicated, and especially in larger communities or companies, and in this case, you know, the partner program. And this might be a little bit off track, but I follow a lot of like drama on Twitter, and I don't engage in it myself, but I just find myself very entertained by what unfolds, and watch commentary videos explaining like said Twitter drama, generally in the gaming or like VTubing space for that drama. And what I've observed and noticed is that if you have a platform where a lot of people follow you, I notice it's like you ought to be very mindful about what exactly you say, even if there's nothing wrong about what you say. Like if you have a big enough following, you will have people who will just be there to just hate, right? And then they'll take whatever you say online and use it against you.
So it
right?
is,
and they'll twist it and behind the conference and paint you as the bad guy, right? That's what I've noticed in a lot of these Twitter dramas. And so, as mentioned before, like I love that you express yourself very passionately and you speak your mind, very blunt, very authentic, right? It would just really suck for those people to use that against you, and you know, you might maybe possibly lose opportunities in the future with whatever it is. But at the same time, it could just be my brain rot from following all these dramas on Twitter. Who knows? But yeah,
well,
that's
listen, you need to get off of fucking Twitter. Blue is unchained. Listen, Blue's unchained. Now he can provide any and all criticism with no repercussions. Not that he was getting much out of it anyway, so this is kind of a best case scenario for Blue, in my opinion.
Well, I actually think
not being tethered.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think that is one of the larger voices in the community. Thank God for that. I think that it makes my voice a little bit more unique, not being in the partner program and being able to give an unshackled take to the game, right? Because now you know, like the partner program now, you can't talk shit on the company in the partner program. Again, they just showed that they cleaned house on basically everyone that was making negative content for the game. So like, now I think that it kind of lends a little bit to my platform overall, where people can tune in and be like, okay, yeah, so like this confirms what I'm actually thinking, right? Instead of like, oh my God, more grindstones. This is amazing. This is so good for the game. What a great use of my time grinding for more grindstones. So excited about that. Yeah, that's not going to happen anymore. And I'll just say this. It's not necessarily that I'm unchained. I actually think that genuinely almost nothing changes. I didn't lighten up on my content being negative the last 4 or 5 weeks, or I guess over a month now, because of Pearl Abyss. I lightened up because I was like, well, at this point, the developers, if they haven't heard it, then there's nothing I can do to make them hear it. And if they have heard it, they've chosen not to listen. So screaming about it more is not going to do me any good. So it's kind of like the canaries in the mine shaft, right? I was tweeting and I was tweeting and I was tweeting. And then eventually you just kind of shut up. Because you're like, well, this just isn't doing it. It ain't doing it any good anymore. And I think that's kind of how doomers are. They're the canaries in the mine shaft. But like, I'm not really planning on making more doomer content because I'm not a partner. Yeah, I'm unfiltered and unchained and stuff, and that's great. I think it helps people see content and like changes to the game through an objective lens, which is a good thing and healthy for the community. But also, I genuinely don't think anything changes with my content. I'm not really planning on being any more negative. I'm just gonna be myself as I always have been. When they warned me in the recent past about it, like a month and a half or so ago, or a month and a half or so ago, they warned me that my content was too negative, blah blah blah. And I just said that I will always make the content that I feel is in the best interest for my community, which is the truth. And I felt that at the time, shitting on the developers was genuinely in the best interest for the community. But again, that was around the time that I was just stopping with the Doom content anyway, because like I just didn't care anymore. And I said, and I told them, I said, I think the problem is going to solve itself because I've kind of just given up. And so has every other Doomer. If you'll notice, you go to YouTube, there's not very much Doom content left at all, right? And there's, to be clear, there's not very much content at all anymore for BDO on YouTube. Like it just doesn't really exist anymore outside of like the primary channels anymore, because people have just kind of moved on from the game because they just got tired of complaining and the developers don't look like they're going to change anything. Now, that being said, they did fly Divios and Choice out. Have you guys ever been flown out to PAHQ for any reason? You ever been there?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So, but you have been to like the Oasis event. You've met the CMs and stuff in person. Well, yeah, you have Blonde. Oh, yeah. We were there together. The fuck are we talking about?
Yeah, I said, okay. I might cut out.
Yeah. I think that they flew out Divios and Choice for one of two reasons. Either one, they're doing an event with them, or two, and more likely, they are desperate and they are asking the opinions of some of the more respected voices in the community, which, if true, is an objective win for the game. It's a huge W. However, they've done this before and nothing comes of it. And Blonde would know this. Like, they've asked people's opinions before, they've reached out to partners before, like, hey, what do you think needs to change? The partner gives the meaningful feedback, and then literally nothing changes. But, like, I don't think it's any coincidence that Pearlabis's earnings report just came out showing that they lost over 20% of their profit. They're down $5.6 million on this quarterly loss just from the last few months. When you compare it to last year, they were up over $10 million. That means it's a $15 million discrepancy over last year that they are down in sales for their primary flagship game. And I think that they're panicking and they're about to go to the ball. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's an objective win. I do. I think it's the only one. I wish there was a way to reach Pearlabis without absolutely tanking their sales price, like all their sales. I really do. I wish there was a way to get the developers to open their ears without literally tanking millions of dollars from the company. But like, if this is what it takes, because they said in the post, they said, we're going to work on trying to bring improvements to the game that players want now. Like, okay, there we go. That's what we wanted in the first place. Nobody needed to do any of this if you had just listened in the first place. It's just the truth. It's the truth. Anyway, what do you guys have thoughts on that? Again, I didn't want this to dominate necessarily the whole discussion, but like, yeah.
I was just going to say that I think that the structure of the game is in a weird spot where, like, for a majority of the game, the concept of like a whale, for example, was to buy a bunch of costumes, to either sell them and get raw silver to buy gear because that would make them better in like open world or whatever. Or they would buy like gear to get Krons, the outfits to get Krons. And that being their like primary model of like accelerating gameplay to get to the end game, which was fighting other players, I think is it worked and it did work and it was really successful for a while until the game now isn't about that open world fighting. I don't personally know any PvEers that are buying to get ahead in their gear. Like I've had a few friends spend a few, you know, paychecks on stupid stuff when like a 6x6 comes out or whatever, for the you know, the pearls. But like I feel like the concept was that for someone that wanted to whale into a game, they would buy to get ahead and then they would demolish a bunch of players, but that doesn't really exist anymore because of all the incentives for doing like open world combat and stuff just aren't really there anymore at all. So I think that the game design is not really fitting what they're, the concept of profiting in money. And I know that you've talked about this before, where it's like they should be moving more into cosmetics, dances, change the color of our abilities, stuff like that, which I do generally agree. The only problem is that, like, you know, I don't really spend too much on BDO because I don't want to or need to, and I like what I have in the game where I just grind and chill. So I feel like motivating a player like me to spend money is like, if they added like 50,000 things for me to then spend money on, I feel like it would almost be like too overwhelming to a point where it's like, well, now I don't want to spend any money because like this is a hobby where I don't have to spend any money to play. Luckily I'm in the partner program, so I get the monthly stuff, right? But other than that, I'm not putting in money into the game. So I feel like the game just doesn't fit the original style, and they will have to change it somewhat. I think that trying to go maybe more aggressive on Krons is probably not the way, which we don't have an inclination of that other than, you know, all the game mechanics in the end being limited by that. But it's also because that's like one of the only, you know, current design factors that we have to limit that progression in the first place, other than time gating it, which everybody's very anti time gating. So they're in just a really particular spot with the game and how it profits. And it makes me wonder if like all the development and money they've spent on those things is like, okay, well, like now it's time to put out your other games so that BDO doesn't have to be the breadwinner. And then those games can then make money so that you don't feel like BDO, you know, they spent tons and tons of money developing these other games. So it's like now it's like time to put those out so those can make money. So you don't feel like you have to ultra uber monetize BDO to put it in a weird spot where like maybe their monetization is going to make, you know, things worse in some ways if they don't pick the right design choice. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. There are some people in chat. I just want to clear this up real quick before we hear from Jay. Total profit is down because of Crimson Desert. The game is in full marketing now. They paid for even for the Game Awards show in December, which is the most expensive show. And I just want to put the kibosh on that immediately before I get a bunch of comments about it, because in the article, they literally say it directly. The company said revenue from its flagship massive multiplayer online role-playing game titled Black Desert dropped 21% or 54 billion won. While sales of the spaceship game Eve gained 28%, 20.5 billion won. So they literally said it was directly coming from Black Desert sales being down, really, really badly. That being said, Jay, do you have thoughts on this?
Hi. All I can say is that I am waiting very patiently and very excitedly for the Calpheon Ball.
Oh, dude, the Calpheon Ball might go so hard.
I am excited for the Calpheon Ball.
It's coming soon. Right? It's like in a month. So
there's so much stuff. Oh man, sorry. That's exciting.
No, you're good. Yeah, that's all. Just waiting for some.
That's
people
it.
Have been asking me like, did I quit BDO and stuff like that? When am I gonna play BDO again? And I'm like, oh well, maybe. Like I'm just like patiently waiting for something like super super exciting to happen, and Calpheon Ball might be it.
He's like, give me a reason to. Yeah, I mean that's actually unfortunate how I was this summer. I like didn't play at all this summer prior to the Land of the Morning Light 2 launch. I was kind of not frustrated, but I had just finished my Merchant Ring and I was like, time to take a chill pill period. I played a bunch of RuneScape. I was really motivated to play that game because it was just progressing and stuff, and I didn't like to pre-grind or think about pre-grinding all the content for the new stuff that was coming out, because as we saw the moment it came out, everybody got their stuff, tapped it, and then they had nothing to do. So I didn't want to be like that, so I didn't do that. So I just chilled and waited. I wasn't really motivated. And then when Boss Blitz came out, I've been super motivated. I've, you know, made a lot of, unironically, I've made a lot of gear gains in the last, like, month because I've been pushing really hard because the Boss Blitz has actually been motivating for me to get gear. I was talking about that with Jay prior to the podcast about how I think that more of these ranked structure things where you have like leaderboards for maybe more PvE-ish activities or just activities in general, I think are a really big positive motivator. Like I wasn't really crazy about getting more AP or gear because number just go up, that's boring, but having my like rank in the leaderboards and seeing our times increase every week on this Boss Blitz has been uber motivating. I'm like, all right, let's go. I'm like, I can't stop grinding now. I don't want to play any other games. I don't want to do anything else. I think that it's just been really, really fun to see the progress increase on something that isn't circles go faster or tower spot goes faster. And I think that that's, you know, I think that is something they really, and I think we can all agree, is that more content in general, like that kind of stuff, is something they should super nail on. And Jay and I was also mentioning, like, you know, the dungeons as they currently are and just scaling them harder, having like a challenge mode or having a timed limit mode or something like that. There's so many like these little things
opportunity,
yeah, for sure that they can take a concept that's even already in the game and just, you know, scale it a little bit stronger and add way more fun because of the competitive nature of those things. Because we've unfortunately lost the competitive nature of everything else in this game. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, I think that it makes it really exciting for the Calpheon Ball because that Jay has a lot of pressure. He's going to get fired. Which is good because like the devs are very clearly feeling the pressure at this point. Financially, they're feeling the pressure on like the content creators. They're feeling the pressure from the player base. They're feeling the pressure in their wallet. They're like all over the place. And that is a good thing because that's the only way we really get the changes that the player base really wants. I think that overall, to transition this a little bit towards something a little bit more positive, because I'd like to not, you know, constantly shit on the game. Karazhan accessories have been kind of a net neutral, I think, for the community overall. I think that they've been net neutral. They haven't been bad, and they haven't been good, because everything good is canceled by something that is bad in most cases.
Okay, that's fair.
Right? Like, there's good things about the new accessories that people really like, and then there's things about the accessories that people really don't like, right? And so, like, overall, net neutral. I think that people are enjoying the Karazhan accessories, but, like, the reason I say it's net neutral is that I don't really see a whole lot more players logging in because Karazhan is here. However, the players that are here are like, okay, yeah, this is, you know, reasonable. Okay, sure, right? I think that there's part of it that's, like, people feel like their progression to this point has kind of been useless. That's kind of how I transferred my stuff, and I was like, wait, I can get Pen Karazhan in, like, 5 hours. Like literally, like, you can go like base to Pen Karazhan, like bam 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 bam, and then that's a Tet Debo equivalent. You're just done. Like the Tet Debo grind's basically done. And so, like, that's a little rough, right? Everybody's immediately caught up to me in gear score, which is insane, but, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm not gonna take that poorly per se, but it also means that instead of having one big mountain to climb in trying to get a Pen Debo, you have a lot of little mountains to climb, and some people are going to take that really well, kind of like Gotter, right? And some people are going to take that really hard because they don't like that, right? Like, and those would be like the old Black Star enjoyers from back in the day. Overall, again, the fact that it uses Kron Stones, yes, it's less Kron Stones per click, and it's a little bit easier to get to, like, Pen and stuff, or to where Tet Debos kind of were before. It's still a lot of fucking Kron Stones, and it's all 6 slots, which means that when you hit I and you look at your gear wheel, the most demotivating thing to me is I look at my gear wheel, and there's literally not a single thing that I can enhance without Kron Stones. Like, that's just it, right? My Kudum C20, I can't enhance that any further. And, like, there's just nothing left in the game that can be enhanced without having this very, very important gap. And I think that that's what a lot of players have hated. But also, I think that a lot of players do like, again, and this is, like, the back and forth of it, a lot of players do like the crystals involved in Karazhan, give them build diversity. And I think that a lot of players really do like that. And I think that that's a positive change for the game. So, again, there's positives, there's negatives. Overall, I'm going to say it's kind of a net neutral. Jay, I'm curious what your thoughts are on it, and then we'll move over to Blonde again.
Yes, so the Karazhan accessories have been more on the negative side for me because it's just more stats, just like very, very boring. The only thing that I like about the Karazhans right now is the BSR crystal, because that actually targets an active gameplay mechanic for all classes, which are the Black Spirit Rage abilities, whereas all the other crystals are just simply passive stats. Passive stats are great, like they're is huge, right? It's just a little bit boring for me, right? So I was hoping that Karazhan accessories, as I was, like, you know, theory crafting a while back, was you know, providing different skill, or, like, you know, skill customization stuff. I always talk about skill customization stuff, but this would have been another opportunity to add more of it. Like, I was thinking, like, maybe let's say you can equip one of these Karazhan crystals that adds a new, maybe it's the whole theme of it could be maybe BSR themed, right? Like, maybe there's a new crystal that adds a BSR passive that procs on a condition. So an example would be, let's say, a defensive conditional BSR passive would If you dipped below, let's say, 30% HP, you would automatically consume 100% of your BSR, and then you get 90% damage reduction or something like a PA or something like that. And that would be on a maybe cooldown, of course, something that would be a little bit offensive, like an offensive conditional BSR passive. Let's say you killed a player using a BSR skill, or you killed a certain amount of mobs when you used your BSR skill, and then it just reset all your cooldowns or something. Something that like just changes the way your gameplay is, rather than just passive stats. And, you know, of course, these are just wild ideas being thrown around, and they can definitely be toned down if that is the case. But I know that PA can be so much more creative than just, you know, number go up, right? I brought up these kinds of ideas in the podcasts in the past podcast, I'm sure you guys know, but I'd like this to be like the new direction when it comes for itemization, rather than just number go up, because right now that's our current state, is just number go up, that's it. And it's at least for me, it feels boring. So that's where I'm currently at with the Karazhan accessories.
Blonde, what are your thoughts on Karazhan overall? You said you've been logging in a lot more, so I assume it's very positive.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been motivated in general because it's like in tandem with the boss splits. I think that the Karazhan is like an exact answer to every single issue people have had with the Debo enhancing. So people that maybe don't like Karazhan is because they didn't have to do Debo enhancing even prior to the pity system. I mean, like, for example, we saw like literally bicep grind for a year and not get a spin Debo belt, which is freaking crazy and mind numbing. But I think that this answers all the questions. You're not looking at like a resource problem. You have the material, and then you get materials from every other type of accessory in the game. So everything old is also used in the new system. Obviously prices and things are going to fluctuate and adjust until we get like a settled down price based on how much people are grinding, how much people are tapping accessories and stuff like that. And then the progression system. Yeah, I agree. It's definitely kind of rough that you're, you know, it's a little cron heavy, but you literally can go all the way up to 4 out of 10, which is almost half the system, with just raw tapping. You can tap all the way up to 4 with the raw tap with fail stacks, because everything like I think 4 is like a 100 stack, and then everything else is like higher than that. So that's when you get into like big money plays. I think it's really challenging to take a 10-step system balanced with the current and old system and somehow make it work appropriately while also fast forwarding the first end of the player base, which is the beginning to mid game players. I think that's really challenging to do and not as easy to pull off. And in my opinion, I think they absolutely nailed it, right? Some people are like waiting to push Karazhan because maybe they were using like old, like Crescents, and they were using Narcs, and they were, you know, they're not at the point of using Depots yet because maybe they were an old gamer who took breaks here and there. But I think that the new system just enables you to go straight into the new stuff in like a really, really decent format, in my opinion. I do agree that,
I was going to say, we were talking about this before the podcast, but what do you think in terms of, is it better to go Debos, like go from base to 10 nope. Debo, or like base to 10 Karazhan?
I did all the calculations.
You did the math already?
Yep. Oh my gosh. I put out the gear guide video on it and everything, because I didn't want new players looking at my old gear guide, because that's where a lot of people are going to go to like figure out where to gear for the game. And so I've already made sure that I put out the new one. And I'm telling you right now, it costs about 2 to 3 bill to make a base Karazhan, and you can get that to duo, which is already better than Pen Kaposha in like, you know, basically instantly, right? Like you can use the fail stacks from seasonal, boom, duo Karazhan, right? And then getting it to Tet and then Pen Karazhan is so cheap. It is so cheap. I would say it's maybe 20 billion, you know, 10 if you're lucky, you know, 25 if you're really unlucky, 20 billion on average to get to a Tet Debo equivalent accessory. Overall, it's definitely just better to just enhance it from the base Karazhan and just go from there. And Debos are, honestly, people are almost encouraging players to just sell their Debo and then just buy.
Yes.
And just make Karazhan. That, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that much easier. Mm. Yeah, it's literally just that much easier.
Yep. So I think overall it's a really big W. I think that when it comes to the crystal concepts as well that you were mentioning, Jay, I think that this sets the template, because all the crystals are currently based on all the old accessories. So people don't say, oh, now there's no DR set, there's no BSR set, there's no evasion set, there's no AP set. Now is the template set from the previous accessories. I think that into your concept and idea for other stuff, I think all it's going to take at this point is like a forum post. And if they're inspired based on that forum post, like the one I posted in our chat where they reference like 50 different forum posts with the change of the last year, I think that could be something they totally add to the game. It's not completely out of the question. Or even making a forum post that talked about like Witch and Wizard Succession, where you have multiple trees and abilities to choose abilities from. That kind of variation would be, you know, really cool in this game, and it wouldn't really hurt anybody based on your playstyle or grind spot. And I think it's definitely possible. It's just talking about it is step one, but then actually posting about it, I think, is the next step that a lot of people don't take, but they should. So I think it's definitely possible for this to be a template for the next stage of the system, because it sets out, in my opinion, a really cool foundation for building on that, right? For alternative sets and diversity. So I think it's a big W. Even when I was tapping, because I just recently went from I had full Pendebo except for one earring. So I wanted to go from the system from a raw base level earring and then enhance all the way up to see what the system was like. So I made a base raw earring and then I started enhancing it. I got it all the way to 9 this last week. I was very lucky. So, you know, with a grain of salt, I think that the system isn't actually too bad, because you raw tap to Tet, right, to 4. And then the Kron's, I mean, when you're looking at 6 gear pieces, for sure, in my position, obviously, it's not going to look too bad. But as a new player, it might be eh. But you're going to 4 on average, and then you're kind of like choosing here and there which pieces you're going to accelerate, right? Like, I think your necklace is like a priority because it has the bigger AP gains and stuff like that. But the Krons aren't really too bad. It's like 1,000, then it goes up to like 1,200, and then like 1,500.
Well, the big thing is also not downgrading too, right?
Yeah, the non-downgrading, it takes away all of the most frustrating processes of Debo, other than the Kron part, because that's the only way they can time get you, right? As the current game design exists. And you know, it gets rid of all the frustrations, right? You're not doing one big leap and then watching it downgrade, and then you can't even get it back up to Tet to do a pen attempt and sitting miserable, because I did that with my, you know, my ring that I pitied out 20 out of 20. It was miserable. Oh. Yeah, it was super frustrating. Tragic, and going from that to this new system where I get all the way to a Pendebo earring in, like, you know, in just the stacks that I was sitting on with, you know, it costs quite a bit of money, but between Krons and stuff, it's so much better. I if you're frustrated with this system, I feel like the only complaint could really be that it's Krons, but until they design a new game system for time gating you in some sort of way, I feel like, you know, it's not even too bad. It's not that many Krons. I think the weapon is where the weapon system is like way more rough. It was more efficient for me to get more AP from my earring. I got 4 AP from my earring versus tapping my weapon 1 or 2 times was a lower percent chance, a higher fail stack, and like 3 times the Krons for the weapon. The weapon is really rough. But that whole point is because you only have 2 weapons currently and you have 6 accessories. So I think that it evens out eventually. So yeah, I think that
is
the
better gain for you to just go like deck accessories before your deck weapon.
Unironically, my next AP bracket is a X necklace and a then I can go like 8 weapon, I think, is my next AP bracket, because like from 5 to 6 and then 7 is
I find people just interchangeably using like oct or 8
number and then X and then
number and then level X.
It's just hard. It's hard, man.
It's hard. Yeah.
I just want to use the number because it's way easier, because if you say pen, people are like, oh, do you mean 5 pen or do you mean like max level pen? Because pen has always been the max status. So but I think there's tons of room for improvement. I don't think it's a perfect system, but I think it's pretty good from where we were.
Is it?
But I mean, there's pros and cons to the old system too.
Is it too early to ask like what happens next? Like what's after this? Like the accessories and the Sovereign? Is that too early right now?
I think it's gonna be similar to Lost Ark.
Like Ball,
you know? I think it's gonna be similar to Lost Ark.
No, I've got it. You ready? I'm ready. I've got it right here. I've got the leak. They shared it with me, even though I'm not a partner anymore. Okay. They said, and this is going to be crazy, deck chest armor pieces. That's it. There it is, baby. Purple armor pieces. You heard it here first, boys. No low effort content from Pearl Abyss. Completely different. Changing it. Flipping the script. Sovereign armors. Woo! So exciting.
It actually makes sense, right? Like we went from, you would convert like a Tet or a pen would be like the accessory switching to a pen or a 9, right? It only makes sense that like if you have Tri-Tet or pen, you know, Fallen God armor, it would equate to like whatever the next 1 out of 10 system is going to be, which would, depending on what they're going to do, is 9. But I also don't see them touching the armors anytime soon because we don't have any content that actually challenges us in that way. I think that they actually might just do alternative, like now with the crystals and the accessories, we have potential to do all kinds of different things. They can create all kinds of grind spots that aren't just like AP driven and maybe mechanically driven through, you know, surviving mechanics and stuff like that. I think that that's possible, but I think it's going to be similar to Lost Ark. where, like, yeah, if you have like a 9 or 10 earring, ring, or any accessory, you use the new material from the new area, apply it to it, and then it converts it to a 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 of the new thing. Yeah. That goes up to like 20 or something like that. I think that's how Lost Ark does it. I think that's pretty smart, where it like goes from like a 9 to like a 4 or 5. And I think that's smart because you take all the old systems and they're still being used in the new system. So nothing, everything continues to get used and is churned into the next system. I think that's a healthy way to do it. RuneScape does a similar thing where they take old stuff and you use the old thing into the new thing. I think that's the way to keep the market relevant for all stages of the game. I think that's just a straight W, and I think that's how they're going to take
you
the
lost
progress.
Me at RuneScape.
In my opinion, it's smart.
I'm just kidding. I actually think that Blonde overall, you're right. I think that for people that are playing the game, I think that they're pretty overall positive about Curizod and the direction it has for the game. I think it's a very reasonable thing. The reason I think it's kind of a net neutral is because I don't think that anybody that quit the game before or that is unhappy with BDO is logging in because of Curizod. But I do think that the people that stayed with the game and are still playing it are pretty happy with that. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of happy too, because I can go grind for a few hours. Boom, gear upgrade. Even for as long as I've been playing, boom, gear upgrade.
There is something mind-numbing about telling yourself that I have to go grind 30 bill to do a pen necklace attempt, and that's like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a week before I click this thing, versus now you can grind like 2 or 3 hours, and you have enough crons to do like a 6, 7, or 8 tap on your thing, right? Like, the 9 to 10 necklace is like 3.4k crons. So that one's a little bit higher, but it's also your final, last, best in slot upgrade. But again, it's your best in slot. It's the max level. It's the last tier. It kind of has to have some sort of like, you know, carrot on the stick for those people that are somehow playing like 8+ hours a day. You know what I mean? But I think that that's an okay trade off, because once you reach it, then what? You know, then you're going to be like, okay, well, now I have nothing to go for again. And they want to avoid that. So low percentages, high cost, that's what creates the systems. Because ideally, your average player isn't hitting X, right? Your average player is hitting anywhere between 4 and like 8 or 9, depending on how hard they want to grind, depending on what kind of content they're pushing. Because the only thing locked behind getting like higher than 320, 330 AP is Dolan's 2. There's no content other than like if you're pushing times for the boss blitz that you're really looking at, like, oh frick, you know, I really need to go to like 7, 8, 9. Which I think is good. I don't think you want to aim to push your players into the 8, 9, 10 bracket of gameplay. I think that should be done for the people that just really truly love playing the game, and your average lookabout should be 4 to 7, which I think it does that really well, for sure.
Jay, you haven't really given a take quite yet, and I just want to emphasize that I think your take is extremely important here, because you have me, who's been playing pretty consistently this whole time. I played a little bit less when TNL came out, but I've been kind of just like logging in and playing at a reasonable pace the whole time. You had Blonde, who wasn't playing at all, and then Throne of Liberty came out, and ironically, he started playing BDO a lot more. And then with the Karazot, he's played a lot more. And then you are kind of like on the other side of the fence. You haven't really logged in at all. Even with the Karazot stuff, you haven't really done too much with it. So I'm curious what your take on the Karazot is, because it's probably a little bit different than Blonde and Mines.
Karazot, I thought I laid out all of my stuff earlier about how it's, you know, it's just, it's, I'm on more of the negative side, because it's just like number up good, and I wish they took a different
direction.
Cool,
but boring, right?
I just thought that the Karazats were a little bit, it's like, it's great, like it's a lot of stats, but it's, it felt a little bit boring for me just because of the, you know, the state that I'm in. And like, I'm kind of, well, I wouldn't say I'm gear capped anymore. I used to be gear capped. Now I'm not a gear capped, but it's still, it's like not motivating enough for me to go back.
I'm not gonna lie. It being that, like, us saying, like, stuff like, oh, man, we really like Olin's, we want more group spots, and then it being Olin's, then Olin's 2, then Olin's 3, then I'm not going to lie, that's not how I thought it was going to be interpreted when I said I want more group grinding and I love Dolan's. Mm-hmm. I thought the concept would be, oh, Olin's is so much fun, and we're going to get, like, spots that are like it in different areas. Kind of frustrating. That's how it's,
gotten,
like, been.
We haven't done, like, Gyphons yet, right? Like.
Those Dekia spots are still in the works, so those could be the, you know, those could be the next stage, the answer for the fun group grinding, but it is just still really funny to me.
If they do make it, before I was like, oh, surely they don't like do it, like repeat the same thing over and again where it's just a tower spot, but But
power spots are like, easy to design and they're easy to balance. So they kind of have to do that. Cause like before, what was the big challenge with like stuff, right? When we had, it has to be, it's a Deckia spot, right? The reason why the tower spots kind of almost have to exist unless they want to work really, really hard on designing a grind spot is because every time we didn't have tower spots, like the Elvia grind spots, people would manipulate them, right? Oh, people were doing elite orc hunting to get the 30 orc elite rotation that would make them like 3 times the amount of money per hour. And then the same thing happened with Sonnels and the same thing happened with X, Y, and Z spot. Like they keep doing that. So I think the design is like, oh, well, with the tower spot, we can design the spawns, we can design the rotation, we can design like everything fits into a formula where they don't have people manipulating
it. Can be a tower spot. Okay, here's a really good example of a tower spot that I love. Userhit Highlands.
Yeah, fucking Highlands, bro.
I agree. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't make it a group grind spot. It's such a fun spot.
Userhit Highlands, yeah, it has like interesting mechanics. Yeah. It's not just like, yes, you're standing in one spot. It is.
You have push challenges.
You can.
And you got chill waves.
Like raid kind of like raid mechanics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a risk, right? And so it could have been so much more, right? So if they can make Izzard Highlands, they can do some interesting stuff with Gyphint, interesting stuff with Miramar. Go ahead.
I genuinely think that the reason that they keep making tower spots is kind of close to what Blonde is hinting at, but I really do think that they were struggling with PvE balance for like a really long time.
Yes.
And then they realized that if they just make everything a tower spot and the mobs spawn on a timer, they don't ever have to balance for PvE ever again. And then they don't have to do their jobs. It's literally just that simple. Well, I'm not joking. That's literally it.
It leaves them time to develop other things, right?
Like 200% PSR that was so meaningful. Yeah. Oh my god.
They can look at now they've got that team learning what PvP is, so now they can balance PvP now, right?
Sure. Yeah, they just need to add a tower spot in Node Wars.
That
would be sick.
I miss having spots that weren't tower spots because I actually kind of like some tower spots is good. Sometimes I like to be at a tower spot, but like I do miss being able to move around on my character. Like I think that an integral part of the grind experience in BDO is really that it's cathartic for you, right? It takes you away from the world, but like also you get to abuse and use the system in the game that you love the most, which is the combat, right? Like, and half of the combat is the movement on your character. You don't get to do any of that on the grind zones. And so like they've just gotten so lazy with every single grind zone is a tower spot. They don't want to take any risks trying to piss players off in PvE anymore that every single spot is a tower spot. And now the only thing they ever have to balance is loot. Like the Elvia spot, I mean the new Land of the Morning Light spots came out, and let's be honest, they were garbage. Like in terms of silvers per hour, it was really bad. And so like they're already buffing it, and that's all they're ever going to have to adjust on those spots ever again. And then they can just move on. Like I'm already thinking that they're coming out with what, 2 or 3 more spots at least in Land of the Morning Light, and my guess is that all of those will also be tower spots. Because they're never going
to
make
just
normal spots
balance,
again.
Right?
It is really frustrating easy to make. It's such
some
low
of the most
effort
fun
content.
Of Olin's was running around that valley, looking at the landscapes, finding the best rotation of like, oh, we got to jump off the hill so we can climb up the stairs because
it'll
be over clear. And it makes me sad that like that's not
gone?
What's being taken away from the fact. Like when I say I like Olin's, they're thinking big rock, big age. HP, you know, whatever. It's not the look of the monster, it's the design choice of the thing. And I do feel like as we get more tower spots and not open world spots, we are losing what made some of the open worldness super fun. And it's unfortunate, but I think it's just easier for them to design, and they can produce that content quicker than and designing this massive area where they have to pick certain spots. Because like even now we've seen Tungrad Ruins just recently had a change where it's like we removed all this terrain because you guys wanted to go that way instead of the other way where we designed the mobs, and they have to particularly pick and choose how many they set and what the spawn rate is. I think that that's probably dev time where they want to be doing something else, but they have to fix it because they didn't make it right or whatever.
There's a reason that Tungrad Ruins rapidly became one of the best grind spots in the game, or most used grind spots in the game, and it's for two reasons. One, it's probably the only spot left that's really viable in the high end, that where you're dashing pack to pack and you get that old feel. You know what I mean? But
in a cap.
Yep. Yeah. And then it's also got like the the fail stack enhancing thing for Karazhan, right? So like I think that people do crave
Land of the Morning Light.
Yeah, and then they added it to Land of the Morning Light, but I still think that Tungrat is still an extremely popular grind zone. And again, I think that's because people like to be able to move around on their character, and I don't really like the fact that everything is just low effort. I don't mind some tower spots, but let's be honest, guys. Oh, Dekia 2, that's all we've gotten for the last like year or more was Dekia 2, basically. And then now we're getting Land of the Morning Light, and all of those are now tower spots too. Like, we're just not getting any normal grind zones anymore, which would be okay if there was anything other to do. Like if we had more guild boss butts, or we had raids or dungeons or whatever, but that's just like that's a wish at this point. That's like a make-a-wish situation at this point. So, yeah, we have do we want to talk about the patch coming tomorrow? Do you guys know what's happening?
I'm all for talking about anything with you guys.
Yeah,
you can be my patch notes. What's up? What's happening?
Oh, yeah, see, Jay's like, yeah, I know what's coming.
That's the class balancing stuff, yeah. Right? I was going to ask, because the only thing I know about is not. Nosa, right?
It's not really like the class balance is not even like the biggest thing in the patch notes. It's a lot of really, really big life skilling changes, in my opinion. Like, I think the life skilling change is the biggest thing for everyone. And I'll give you the TLDR. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's some big balance stuff for like Ninja and Sork and all that crap. No one really cares. But like the bigger thing is that like Imperial deliveries, you can now make 100 boxes at a time and they only weigh 1 pound a box. Alchemy and cooking are now separate turn-in boxes, so you can turn in all your cooking boxes every day and turn in all your alchemy boxes every day, right? And fishing, they really, really buffed the crap out of fishing because they realized that no one's playing their game anymore and they can just buff the AFK.
They doubled it, right?
Yeah.
All the
rates. They can just buff the AFK rates. So like now you can fish and you can get like much, much better fish now as well. I wish they would buff active fishing. I really wish that they would buff active fishing.
They should.
I really do. Like instead we keep getting buffs to like all the passive life skills, which is okay. There's some barter changes that are, I'll be honest, if you're looking at them and you actually understand how to barter, the bartering changes are like whatever. They're not that big of a deal. Special barter changes got buffed, and then like some crow coin things and Margoria, sure, but like overall bartering's like whatever.
It's better now because you can sell the boats, right?
Yep, and that was the next thing I was going to say. You can sell the carrots.
Sorry, spoiler. I pre-watched. My bad.
No, you're good. Oh my god. You can sell the carrots now, which you say that's better. I actually think that's worse. I think that, I don't know. I think a lot of people that really like the ocean. I think that a lot of people that really like the ocean are captivated by it, and they want to start with like some little boat, and they want to build their way into some big vessel and know that they worked for this and that they earned this. You know what I mean? Like, and it was like one area of the game where you couldn't pay to win it. You had to put in the time and you had to do it. And now it's just like choice is going to have four carrots.
Now I can go in and get a carrot. He's never bartered in his life. Time to get in the ocean, baby.
Yeah.
Time to get my Iberus Knoll.
Yeah, no, it's so cooked.
yeah.
They did buff it so that the Crocs like can drop full maps now too. So the Emerald Knoll is actually a lot better to go for now, huh? From that was that in this change as well.
Yeah. Wait. What? I apologize. Somebody somebody asked me a question in chat.
Was you saying that Crocs now drop a full map or something when you're killing them?
Oh no, it's special barters can now drop a full map. And an opportunity for the Emerald Knoll.
Heck yeah, man.
So that's like, awesome. And that's cool, but again, that's a 1 in 1,000
bajillion.
Yeah, like you're talking 1 in 1,000 special barters, and you get special barters like once every other day. So we're talking, and that's if you're doing all of your barters. You're getting one special barter every other day to maybe one special barter a day, which means that in 3 years you might get one.
Heck
if you were reasonable, and you would still be above average. So like
gamer.
And that's one chance at a null. It's not even the null. So like
you could just buy the null if you did it for 3 years.
Oh yeah. True. You'd have to literally barter for 3 straight years and do every barter for 3 straight years, and then you can buy them. That's what people that don't know anything about bartering, like the null is the easiest one. Yeah, they're like, null's the easiest treasure item to get. I always love having people say that. It's the easiest one to get. No, it's definitely the hardest of the. It's definitely hardest of all of them. Yeah, anyone that hasn't sailed before and doesn't know how crow coins works knows that the Ebon Roost Knoll is definitely, in my opinion, the rarest treasure item in the game. That includes the merchant ring at this point. Because at least the merchant ring, you're grinding spots, rings. You know? Yep, there's 100% more merchant rings.
The nulls, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Far more. Far more. It's the most miserable. It is. It absolutely is. Anyway, that's the big patch coming tomorrow. And I think a lot of people are excited about it. I think people are going to log in for it. I think it's a big W for life skillers, which is a big thing for the game because they don't release life skilling content like super, super often. And now we have like guild manners too.
Heck yeah. We'll
talk about this for a second.
The furniture.
Yeah, you can actually use other people's furniture and like leech off of it like it's the government. It's a
big W.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And you can help decorate it too, or just steal everyone else's decoration, which is neat.
Heck yeah.
I think that's really cool. I think it helps bring players together in a fun way, but you still can't do any cooking and alchemy in there, which means that
shame.
Let's be honest, there's still no reason to hang out in the guild manor.
Could you imagine if they made like life skill mini games where like you run in and you're basically playing Overcooked with your whole like 5 or 10 man guild group where you're running plates from the kitchen to the table and it's like, I gotta chop the tomatoes. Like, could you imagine? Oh,
God,
it'd be just so incredible. And you get like a bonus, like you get a chunk of EXP cool. and you get like some
stuff.
Cool
if you could,
that would be so sick. Cool if you could, like,
maybe
so cool.
Guild exclusive food or something, or guild exclusive potions. Let's say they do add like, you know, cooking and alchemy perks where you do stuff with your guild exclusive food, guild exclusive potions that you can, that's like crafted by your best cooks or alchemists in the guild, and the effect would be like guild wide. You know, let's say you're doing a node war, you could just pop the guild food buff or guild elixir buff. Maybe that could be a mechanic that, you know, a lot of high level cooks in your guild could contribute to.
There's
to the dish.
There's no motivation to go for high guru and high mastery. It's a shame that there's not like bonuses this for like, oh, I really want this guru 50 cook in my guild because they're going to be able to make the super duper guild food or whatever. Like, it's so weird that that's like, I feel like these are like emphasized in a lot of other games, and it feels like it was cool to do that
so
in life skills.
Yeah.
Because like we have really, really
so
in-depth.
True. Yeah,
high grindy life skills, but like none of like the end game is extensive at all. Like there's no reason to get to actual end game life skills unless you're looking at money per hour, but even then that's only if you're not grinding. Dude, which you should be,
right? I got to 2k mastery and every life skill and then stopped life skilling.
it's more like an achievement just to do.
That's what I did. I got 2k mastery basically every single life skill, the exception of like maybe sailing, all the big ones like alchemy, cooking, gathering, hunting, all of that shit. And I was just like, okay, we're done. And I haven't done life skills like honestly since then, because I don't really feel like there's much of a point, which is ironic. I know I might start doing it again soon just to make money, because like I'm kind of looking for ways to motivate myself. But like I just started this new Iron Man series, but that's a whole different thing. Anyway, Jay, you have something to say.
I was gonna ask if you guys looked over the the guild palette. Sorry, not the guild, but the palace. What is it, like palace production thing? The royal palace.
Oh,
thing?
The new life skill. Yes, the new life skill. Yeah, at least people are saying it's a new life skill. Mm-hmm. It's really like Walmart crafting. You're basically taking a worker and you're putting it on. It's crafting at home. You're taking a worker and you're putting it on. A house, right? Like a crafting house. Remember, we used to have this 6 years ago, Jay. Do you remember this? We used to do this. Like, actually, Jay might not have been here. Blonde, maybe you remember this. Do you remember we used to craft like Grunil in houses and stuff? And then like functional clothes and Grunil and stuff. And like, that's how people made their money. Is they had, they had crafting houses for all the different things. Ooh. I can still tell you where all of these different houses and shit are.
You had to craft Grunil. It didn't drop. You had to craft it. Yeah. So you literally had to have a network.
Like
eventually they made it drop, but if it did drop, it was like ultra rare. Like you had to make it. It was not enough.
And then there was like people who put like two workers on a node. Remember that?
Offhandedly put in my Iron Man series, I said only up to two workers on one node. Right. Anyway, it kind of brings back crafting into the game. The new life skill is essentially you're going to take a worker, you're going to put him on this little crafting node, and he's going to go get, he's going to make stuff for you and like do cool stuff, but you have to unlock it via like knowledge of Land of the Morning Light, or like it's kind of unclear how you're going to unlock this. Either you're spending energy, or you have knowledge, or you've done a certain amount of quests. There's something that's going to allow you to unlock these that make these crafting houses in the palace of Land of the Morning Light, exclusive for a lot of players. And then you're going to get these really exclusive rewards from it. And then you're going to be able to sell these things on the market and other players can't make them. So there's going to be a really big market for them. They're calling it a new life skill. I'm just, it's just crafting. It's really like, it's just crafting from back in the day. And I think that's really cool, but like, yeah.
I was going to say, is it going to, when I say it's a new life skill, is it going to have like a whole new category of, you know, how like gathering, going to Guru 15? Is that going to,
I think it's separated from the EXP, right? Yeah, it's like a whole, no, it's like a management system rather than like a, like it's just an active system you participate in.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So it's, it looks fun. I can't wait for it. But like also, again, it's not really content that's going to make people log into the game. Like it's like we're still waiting for that big like shock content that gets people like really excited about it, but like it is an exciting patch. It's going to be fun. I think the guild manners need to be stepped up a little bit. Like again, until there's a reason for people to hang out there regularly, I don't think the guild manners are going to be used a whole lot, but I think the guild manners are an excellent step towards bringing players together, because right now there's no reason for you to get together with other players in the world of Black Desert. It used to be that you'd do that for PvP. That's not really a thing anymore. So like, yeah, people, players are kind of craving this other player interaction. Although BDO is kind of a solo player MMO, and we love playing solo player about 95% of the time, we all do it so that 5% of the time when we do come together, we can have a good time with all of our gear and stuff. Yeah. So like, we're all looking for that, that moment.
Not to take too much from TNL, but what if they add like guild raids and you can just like fight your own guild Zarka or guild Karanda or like, you know what I mean?
You mean like guild bosses?
Currently have it, just actually make it challenging.
You mean like guild bosses, like, you know, Jay?
Have it in there, yeah.
Like Mudster?
You just have to make it.
Or Putorum? Yeah, that would be a good idea if they added those. Yeah, that'd be a good idea if they added those. What the fuck, bro?
That's I think insane. If they made it challenging and like actually rewarding like the current boss blitz, because right now I'm super motivated because it's a, not only is it a huge paycheck, but the leaderboard system is really fun too. I think that if they did that with other stuff in the game, I think that like making it actually challenging, make it mechanical, make it stuff like that. I think that the challenging PvE experience is something that people are, you know, actually truly wanting, like unironically. It's unfortunate that we don't have more of that, but I mean, we could be on the upturn because as the dungeons have come out year after year, and after the more stuff like that,
year they're getting. Year.
I mean, well, you know what I mean. Like the years that they do
year
come out,
year after 3 years,
the year after they do come out, it's like the next thing gets more and more challenging and more, you know, like it's the mechanics are getting stronger and better and stronger and better. And I think that the new boss blitz kind of shows, you know, that, right? So the potential
about, like, for them the to do dungeon. Is, like, didn't somebody like get into the fourth dungeon? Like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
there is no war embossing, say.
There's still war, but okay.
Surely, fourth dungeon will be announced at the Galfion Ball.
We've been saying that for 5 years. It's done. Right? They've given up. They've given up. I'm gonna be honest. They've just given up on it.
I think it's tough, right? Because like you would want to, because the design choice is like, it's like the what, the pre finale to the end of the story, and then the actual, is the dungeon the finale of a Leisure story, or is the new region the finale of her story? So I think depending on, I can't remember what they last stated it was, because it was in the like one of the last Calpheon balls, but basically the concept was that like, the fourth dungeon would be like a regular dungeon and just a regular boss and you do it, but I think add extra story elements to it and more stuff. So I think that they're not wanting to just create the fourth dungeon be a regular dungeon, because I think they understand that the time has passed where people aren't really running the dungeons regularly anymore. Now that like in less time you could do the boss blitz for 5 times the amount of money and paycheck, I think that you don't see people doing the dungeon unless there's going to be like an event where you're getting double the dungeon rewards or whatever. I think the fourth dungeon they're going to design to be something like, I don't know, big. I think it's going to have multiple bosses and encounters. I think it's going to be like a like an actual thing that's going to take a lot of time to run through, and it's not going to be like a quick farm like experience, right?
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential. I think that they're probably pushing the limits on like the design choice. I mean, we've seen in the boss blitz, like the deposed crown prince has been beaten by a handful of groups, and that fight is genuinely really tough. It is an actual challenge with actual mechanics, and it's not like simple as.
And fight. It was conquered by server first by Blue Squadron and his group. Let's shout out to my boys. We were server
sorry,
first.
Hard mode.
Everyone else hard is dog mode, shit. Yeah, but we figured out the we figured out all the mechanics first. We just didn't have the gear for the hard mode.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Your dog shit.
Yep. Isn't there like an extra phase on hard mode?
On hard mode, there's three phases.
Yeah, there's three phases,
and each phase is the repeat of the same phase with more mechanics. Correct. So phase two, you have red rings moving in and out, and you have the star pattern happening. And then the fourth phase, the third phase is just like it's absolute
wild.
Chaos.
It's literally
insane.
Wild.
It's so
cool. I love it.
It is very, very cool.
Yeah, my favorite thing is watching everybody complain that it's too hard and just teabagging on them for it. Because, like, if you think it's too hard, don't do the content, loser. Like, that's how it is.
It's a challenge
bro.
Meant to be overcome, right?
Yes.
He
dude,
literally has, like five titles. All the other bosses have three titles to achieve. And so it's really a true testament of, like, you know.
Just get good, you know.
How much of a gamer you are. Yeah, just iframe it, right?
Well, I think that there should be challenging PvE group PvE content like that. I think that's a huge W for the game. And I think that people complaining about it can f*** off. Like, I just, I'm sorry, I'm unchained now. So, like, I don't have to worry about what I say. But the people that like constantly bitch about having challenging PvE content can just go grind their circles and not have to worry about it. Or, let's be honest, grind standing still. It's that challenging PvE content that people are craving, and that's why people love the guild boss split. So I'm hoping that the developers don't listen to them and make it easier. I hope that they don't. I hope that they kind of stick with it, because it's really cool and it's really good content. I think that was a W. Okay, last and final subject here. Okay, unless you guys have something else you want to talk about after this. Cal Ball expectations. Give me three things that you think will revive the game and you would be super happy about and very excited to come back and do for the Calpheon Ball. Let's just fire them off. We'll start with Blonde. Three things.
Revive? I don't know about revive.
Revive the game. 50% of the players coming back right now, Blonde. Here we go.
I just don't think there's ever going to be an update like that. I unironically, I don't think there will ever be an update.
And they say
that
I'm
like,
a doomer. Blonde has been removed from the BDO partner program. Here we go.
I'm just being realistic.
DRCM corruption.
Listen, I'm just saying that I also think it's obviously we can look at the trends on the Steam charts, but there are plenty of people that play outside the client that are either new or returning or coming through the client. Technically, not everybody plays through Steam. I know it's one fashionable way to look at it.
It's a trend.
But when I look, I agree it's a trend.
It's a percentage.
But when I look at the enhancement tab and I see people clicking Karazhan nonstop for 8 hours straight in a grind, I'm like, hey, listen, that's a lot of people playing this game, going from base to Tet to Pen further on. People are tapping these Karazhans like nonstop. But no, I don't think there's ever going to be something that's going to bring players back to the game. But Calpheon Ball, what I'm excited for, Demon Land, obviously that's a big one. Dungeon, that's a big one. And then I think they are going to have some other kind
of... two out of three of them.
Ooh, sorry, bud. Ooh. And I think it's going to be... there's going to be some challenging content when it comes to like PvE stuff. I think we're going to have some more of that. Hopefully, I'm hoping. I mean, I don't think we really have any clue what's going to happen. I mean, they did talk about the Altar of Blood, you know, stuff coming back. That they're reworking it for a very, very long time. I know we've all kind of mentioned PvE Node Wars. I think I just need to literally have a guy make a forum post, like be like, hey, someone please let me pay you to make this forum post
for sure.
Listen, they did I posted that one post where they referenced 40 different forum posts that inspired the game changes over the last year. That's kind of a big W.
My favorite thing is where the CM that was charged to retroactively go back and be like, okay, we need you to go through, because we need to pretend that we're listening to the player base. The forums and tell and figure out where people complained about this in a vague way, and then we'll say that we changed the game based on their forum posts. It just took us 9 months to a year. No, I'm not joking.
Way.
It's exactly what happened.
No,
it's not even a question.
No, I don't think so at all.
And they're all minor, dog shit little changes when what people really want and like what makes people feel that like hey, yeah, you listen to us. They're all just
quality of life changes.
You know what I mean?
I agree, like, but I think that a lot of people when they complain aren't really putting all their thoughts into a forum. We've had like only two crusades of forum posts where people are like, guys, you gotta upvote this, you gotta upvote this. Like,
because they don't listen
one
anymore.
One of choices things and one of the PV. But I mean, that's up to the community. If they don't want to post in the forums and upvote it, and yeah, sure, if they don't think that that's going to look in line with the game's design and what they want to go for. I mean, that's PA ultimately messing up, sure. But we have like a bunch of other forum posts where they listen to tons of quality of life feedback. And I mean, I genuinely think good updates to the game. There was a lot of stuff that was in the forum post that were like, hey, I wanted this. This is something I did want. And someone said it and then it got changed. So I think it's easy to be like, well, you know, they just went back and looked. But I don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I'm going to take this cynical.
That would be so nonsensical.
No, but like, even if they did just listen to it actively through time, they didn't say what they were doing, and they finally just put out this post randomly saying,
I agree.
Like, you understand how suspicious this looks. You understand how suspicious this looks.
I agree. I 100%. It's super
out of
sus.
Nowhere.
I don't disagree with you there.
Out of nowhere. They're like, oh, by the way, here's 40 forum posts
We've
that we listened to.
We've been listening the whole time,
yeah,
guys.
For sure. We're definitely listening.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just, it's so far-fetched.
Conspiracy brain version of me is like, yeah, there's no shot. You're just putting this out because everybody's been negative over the last 2-3 months, and you're just going to put this post out. Like, why should I ever believe you? This should have been out as soon as the updates came out. You should have just said, hey, guys, here's a new update we did inspired by this post. This should have been in the forums, and this should have been posted in the patch. You should reference it the moment it was introduced in the game. I 100% agree with you.
Yep.
However,
and if they were being genuine, would have done that. If it was genuine and true, then they would have done that. I'm having trouble focusing. I apologize. There's a dance going on. It's distracting. I think that if they were being genuine with it, they would have told us as they went, like, hey, based on player feedback, we're implementing this quality of life change, right? Every developer ever wants the reward, like that little extra dopamine hit for telling their player base, hey, I mean, it's free points, right? It's free publicity points. Hey, we listened to your feedback. This is why you're getting this, right? Instead, they didn't tell us anything over the last year. And then retroactively, out of nowhere, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, all of these came from your forum posts. And they're all like the little changes. And again, to add on top of this, like conspiracy, like you call it a conspiracy, but like to add on top of this, you look at all the big forum posts.
It's conspiracy brain, right?
Look at all the big forum posts. So like these are all like tiny forum posts that have like 3 upvotes. Okay. Like 1, 3, 10 upvotes. What about the ones that have 12,000 upvotes on them? Did you look at those? Did you listen to those? Because I felt like those were the important ones.
If they don't think the game needs to go in that direction, then they don't want to go. And I think this also ties into why Divyos and Choice just flew out to HQ, because obviously they're not hitting the nail on the head, and they need people that, you know, are the most reasonable, probably unbiased people that would give good objective feedback to like the design of the game, probably more PvP related than anything else, right? Although I really hope Choice gets to talk to them about PvE stuff. But I think that it's easier to just do it that way, because you take two good faith, genuine members from the community that people trust and believe in to give that feedback, and that's the way you do that. I don't disagree that it's like, bro, these are all tiny little changes. Why didn't we get anything big? Why don't we look at the big forum posts where there's tons of feedback on it? But I think that's way, way, way more tough to implement, because we have so many sections of PvPers. I think one big change will be maybe nice for one portion of the community, and then the 8 other halves of the community of PvP will be like, well, I didn't like this, so I'm gonna dog on it, you know? I think it just puts PA in a tough position where, like, no matter what update they do, it's gonna upset people. I can't imagine what it's like to be in that position, because no matter what, even if you make 1% of the players happy, there's going to be an overwhelming majority that's just going to dogpile on and be frustrated and complain, which is, again, fine and justified, because I think that they messed up a lot of stuff in the game and they just kept going down further and digging a bigger hole. But what are they supposed to do? So they fly out 2 of the most trusted members of the community to be like, okay, lay out what you want, fix the game. And then we trust that they're going to follow that feedback. Now, whether or not that happens, whether or not they listen, whether or not, I don't know. That's up to them, right?
They've asked for partner feedback before in a very similar way many times. And like every time, it's basically just a PR stunt. I hate to be this guy, but like it's basically just a PR stunt. That way, when they take Choice's and Divyos' advice, Choice and Divyos tell them A, they give us C. Right, it's not even B. They give us Choice and Divyos suggested A, and they're like, huh, that's a good idea. We're retarded. And then they give us C instead. Okay, so like we get like a hybrid of what they want. And the best part is, then they can blame it on the community when shit goes south. So Choice of Nivea suggests A, which if we get, saves the game. Let's be honest. If they listen to anything those two have to say, they're saying what we've all been saying for months. We're all saying the same thing. We're all on the same damn page when it comes to how to fix the game, how to turn the game into a good direction. Choice and Divios are no different than any of the other doomers, as we call them, have been saying for the last few months. But like, if they actually listen to them, that's great. That's amazing. But instead, what they're going to do is they're going to hear that feedback. They're going to say, okay, amazing. And then they're going to give us C. Instead of giving us A, like Choice and Divios wanted, they're not going to give us B. They're going to give us two steps of separation. They're going to give us C. And then they're going to say that the players told us that this is what they wanted. And then it's going to be garbage. And then now everyone can blame the players instead of Prelibus.
I don't disagree that PA has... plain and simple.
It's a win-win for them.
Has an issue with translation. We've provided tons of feedback over the years, and they they seem to misinterpret a lot of what we're saying. And so that's why I think they flew them out explicitly rather than to have them like tell them over video chat or text and be like, yeah, this is what we want, blah 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 blah. I think like hopefully having an in-person meeting with a translator or however they're going to do the thing, because it's already happened, right? They came back today because it was Monday to Wednesday or whatever. I think that then if PA messes it up, then it's on them. Because, right, it's not like Divius and Choice are going to come back and be like, guys, we told them A. And then if they don't give us A, well, then PA f***ed up and they misinterpreted and they f***ed it up. I think Divius and Choice are smart enough to be like, guys, don't, if they're going to have a real conversation, I don't know what the behind closed door situation is, but if they're going to be like, listen, straight up, don't f*** it up. Don't change it. Do exactly what we say. Because if you change it and do your own little PA twist, everybody's gonna be upset. You're just gonna make more and more people upset.
Well,
and I think
done the
that
same
if
thing.
They're having a real conversation, they'll be like that.
The reason that I know this is because they've asked me the same thing when they've flown me out. And they, like, we sat down, we talked about the game in a meaningful way, and they've said, okay, we're gonna give this word for word to the developers and whatever. And then the developers don't listen. Like,
at that point,
it's
the devs. Then
it's just the same cycle every time.
And just like the forum. Well, it's just like a forum post, like, right? Like, we can have a 12,000 upvote forum post, but if it's not the design of the game or in a good direction that they think or they see that it's going to go in a direction they want the game to go, then they're not going to do it, even if it does have overwhelming support from the community. If everybody in the community put a forum post that says we want a J-Hammer once a month, and even though it had 15,000 upvotes, it doesn't mean it's going to be a good system. That's a hyperbolic example I'm using, but like, that doesn't make it a good thing. I'm not saying that the previous PvP feedback has not been good. I just think that it's, again, it's really tough when you have so many different types of players that like they need to just have an iron fist ruling of like, this is the design of the system that it's going to be, and then we'll develop it from there, rather than it feels like they try to pinpoint certain points of the community here and then there and then here and then there, rather than like taking it as a whole. I think also the misbalancing issue of like, we have too many modifiers, right? Like RBF is balanced and scaled for taking damage differently than another mode of the game. We have all the classes also hit differently. Like some are doing more damage to this class and less damage to this class. I think that eliminating all of these other middling factors that balance the game so that there can be like an actual slate of balance, I think is going to be, in my opinion, better for design, because then they can actually adjust everything from the whole, rather than like, now we have to, well, if we make a class OP in this way, then RBF version of this class is going to be absolutely busted, but then the Node War version or capped version is going to be like not functional. Like, I think that so many of these limiters are what create the problems. And that's not even just the design choice of how Node Wars and stuff are done, which I think they've, again, I agree, they've really messed up.
Yeah, I don't know. Design. Like, forgive me for taking the pessimistic approach on this, but like, I don't understand how flying them out is any different than just asking them in partner chat, in a video call, even through the listening to their content, because Choice and Divios have both given feedback content for the game. Like, and so has basically every other partner. And so you're going to fly them out, and then now somehow this time it's going to be different. Like, I just don't understand how that is different.
I think it just shows,
you know?
Good. It just shows a good sentiment. Like they literally picked the two guys you would want to trust with the system to go out there and lay it out on paper, right? Yep. Lay it out in front of you. Lay it out in a real conversation where it's not just I'm texting you, you're texting me, or I type, you know, Divios's manifesto, which is a good one, you know, but like we type this, forward it to PA. They look at the first two paragraphs, implement those changes, but they don't listen to the rest of the document, which is like what they did at the beginning of the year.
Yep. That's what's going to happen.
Which I agree is the problem. They didn't know there was a page 2 and 3 and 4.
Correct.
They saw one page and said, okay, we can do that. So,
this
in-person approach is a, and I'm hoping, obviously, in good faith, that it's a good faith attempt to bring them here and be like, hey, line by line, class by class, you know, Node War system by Node War system, tier by tier, this is it, right? And I don't know. I haven't talked to Choice of DVS yet since they've been back, but when they get back, we'll see how that talk went, if they're even allowed to talk about it, if they didn't sign them under NDA.
They're not going to be able to talk about it. They can't talk about it. I couldn't talk about shit like that when they talk to me about that stuff. I talked to them at the Heidelball too. Like I talked with them at the Heidelball about stuff too. And like, you know, you're not really allowed to talk to them or talk about exactly what's said or like what they look at. Like, so like, that's how I know that they consume. They
give vibes at least, right?
They actually, well, that's how I know that they actually consume a fair amount of YouTube content. They're not so good about consuming Twitch content unless it was very specifically the United Nations podcast. The developers would watch the UN podcast live. And that's why I encourage so many people to come into the chat, because they're not really there for the creators. They're there to look at what the chat's response is to what we're like talking about so that they can see. And that's why we did the UN podcast, is so that people around the world could give their opinions of the game at the same time. And so like they, unless it's some crazy over the moon content like UN podcast, which takes dozens of hours to set up every single time that we do it, they're not really watching Twitch, but they will watch YouTube. They will watch YouTube,
right?
And they will watch a lot of YouTube,
yeah, for sure.
Well, it translates it for them immediately. Yeah. So like, and so like, I know that they've seen Choice's videos probably on the game, and not just the NACMGM team. I'm talking about the Korean office, the developers, Jae-hee Kim, have seen Choice's videos. There's no way that they haven't, based on my knowledge of what they watch already. I don't understand how Choice is going to tell them anything different than he's been already saying in his various videos, and he's going to tell them the same thing. I trust Choice, and I don't
think it's
going to
be that they're saying something different. I think it's just the fact that it shows a good gesture of faith that they're willing to like actually bring the two probably most trusted people to do it, right? Divios, who, you know, watching his, what was it, 1 hour video where he's talking about not playing the game anymore, that freaking was so sad. I did not like watching that freaking video. I hated that. Taking, you know, arguably two of the most beloved people in the game and in the content creator space, and being like, hey, like, this is the good faith attempt. That's what I'm hoping. Whether or not, you know, I agree that it doesn't, like, why couldn't they just DM them and say, hey, send us an email, we'll fix it up and we'll do it.
Because they've already they've already done that with partners in the past. Right. They've done it with me. They've done it with Divius. They've done it with Choice. Well, I mean, we did suggest
it. Whether or not they actually listen to it, that's on PA at this point, right? I mean, but I feel like that's how we've always felt, is that it's like always on PA and they still somehow messed it up. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tough call. It's like the person that's like scammed you a bunch of times asking you, listen, please trust me. Trust me this time.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Thank you. Listen, that's exactly what it feels like. Like, no,
I have the faith
this time
to believe in them. I understand. Based on your betrayal, you obviously would not have the faith, because it's like, this has been done. I've let you borrow $10 every week. Okay. Yep. You're not going to pay me back. I know
me
it.
Me more than anyone.
I'm the guy that's like, listen, you know, here's
I've been smacked
bucks,
on it enough times. Yeah, I've been smacked on enough times to know. Like, they've flown me out enough times. I've worked with them enough times to know that I can't trust them to actually fix anything anymore when it comes to, like, I would love for them to actually meaningfully fly out, not just Choice and Divios, but like guild leaders from around the world to Korea. That is a gesture, right? If they fly them to Korea and like they invited them to the ball and then they had a sit down, or I assume that they're doing it before the ball because they need to know what the fuck to say at the ball, not to drive away all their players. That is like, if you want to know the brass tacks of what's happening, this is the brutal truth, is that they have a ball in a month or so, and that ball needs to go well, and they need to drive players back to their game. So they need to know exactly what the PvPers want to hear at that ball, which is why it's happening now, and they didn't just wait to fly Choice and Divios out at the ball. Literally the reason. And that's fine with me. I'm okay with that, because again, if they do listen to them, amazing. The game is saved.
And it works out.
We're huge. Yeah, everything is great. I'll eat my words. I don't give a shit, because that means our game is amazing again. I'll look like a clown. I'll dress up in a clown suit. Okay, like, I don't care. Like, if we can turn this shit around, I will literally dress up in a clown suit and do a stream. God is my witness. But like, I just don't see them. I don't see it happening. I really don't. Like, I don't see them doing it. But we will see. Jay, you haven't spoken in a while. Are you okay?
Why? I'm good. Yeah.
What do you think about them getting flown out? Are you excited about it? Not excited about it?
What's Oh, you get them getting flown out. I mean, it's definitely a really cool, you know, experience for them to, you know, get flown out to Korea. I've never been to Korea.
No.
That's cool. I don't know.
They didn't fly to Korea. Jay has no idea what is being talked about.
They flew to the California office to talk to the executive game director. Which isn't that the guy that's always in the YouTube videos talking to us? Wasn't he the one that was talking in the dev talk? Is that not him?
No.
Oh, then I don't know. I don't know all the titles. There's a million different titles.
No, they're talking to basically the NAEU team or the NA team basically, and like the executives on the NA team, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, okay.
Like, I doubt that the Korean office is actually there in any capacity. But like,
really?
They could be, but I doubt it. And even if they are, again, everything that I said holds. I sincerely, because if they did listen to Choice and Divius, we're saved. The game is saved. We're gonna 180 this shit. We're gonna be gaming. But like, damn, bro, these devs have a habit of just, they listen to like 33 pages of feedback and then they change what's on page one and they say, "We did it. We're done. Are you happy?" And then the other 32 pages go into the wind, and that's just not enough. In this case, they have to give us all 32 pages. And then players would get excited about the game because the game's still incredible and we love it. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Let's do final thoughts, closing thoughts. We'll do Blonde first because Jay has literally been AFK, and I'm going to give him time to think, get his thoughts together.
No, I've just been listening intently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why you thought it was the Korean office we were talking about. Blonde, go ahead.
Final thoughts. We'll see.
We'll see.
Literally. Literally, we'll see. Karazhan, big W. Let's go. Yeah, that's kind of it.
No.
I'm excited. Calpheon Ball should be.
Listen, the Calpheon Ball should be fun. I'm excited. Demon Lands is kind of my big ultra hype mode. The concepts and stuff they have for that are going to be cool.
Hype things, right.
I'm super, super, super excited for the Calpheon Ball. Life skill changes, W, big W. Got to see more of it. And you can catch me at twitch.tv/blondbear where I'm just chilling and grinding.
All right. And then Jay?
Hi, yes. Okay, so I didn't get to speak on my three things. And so here's number one, right?
Sorry,
here's how they're gonna bring back 50% of the
Things. I didn't even get to get my three things. Okay, all right. Well, before closing thoughts, this is fine. Jay, go ahead and give your what were Blonde's three things again?
Blonde, did you even finish the dungeon?
I was listening.
Demon Land, new dungeon, and complex PvE encounters.
Okay, there it is. And then Jay, what are your three things?
Okay, here's what they're gonna fix: Nodewire. That's number one. Okay.
Slay Queen. Oh, yeah.
Number two.
Okay.
Number two, they're finally gonna balance the game and buff Woosa. Okay, and then number three, they're gonna add Shadow Arena back. That's how they're gonna do it, guys. 50% of the players is gonna come back.
That would be nuts.
Shadow Arena would go hard. Honestly, I'm gonna be honest. If Shadow Arena comes back, watch the game. watch everyone come back to play the game.
Standalone game again. They're gonna turn BDO to standalone.
That's no shot. Wild, bro. It's literally insane. Okay. Right on. Is that all three of your things there? I don't want to interrupt again. Okay.
Go ahead, your turn.
My three things is that they're going to give us large scale PvE. They're going to fix PvP all together in one fell swoop. They're just going to listen to Trice and Divius. Easy peasy. And then the third thing is that they're going to get away from the Cronstone monetization and move towards monetizing their game in less pay to win ways. But and then hand us more Cronstones to make the grind feel a little bit easier. That would be my ideal Calpheon Ball in this case, but okay. All right. So Jay, you want to give yourself a shout out real quick?
Yes. Hi, my name is Jaken VT, V before the T. You can find me live at twitch.tv/JakenVT, V before the T.
Yeah, but what is your final T? Okay. What's your final thought?
My final thought.
We'll see.
Baby.
That's talking
about. All right. favorite outfit here in this group. There was a caked up woman dancing over here. I don't know where she went.
That's my favorite one.
That was my favorite one. You can't have it. You have to pick somebody else.
Oh.
You can have Gargantua.
Yeah, that one, yo.
Yeah, you can have Gargantua, and then who's your favorite blonde?
The guy with his arms crossed on the wall.
God, you guys are so lame about this. You guys are supposed to be paying attention the whole time. Jay just basically zones out and then just forgets what we're talking about. It's obnoxious. Oh, goodness.
Hey, look
I'm just
at his
kidding.
Aura.
It's such look a good podcast. Aura, I love you guys. I love how our like mood on the podcast has shifted. Now it's just kind of like a conversation of just like talking about the game. Anyway, we're here every single Wednesday or Tuesday and sometimes every other odd dated Fridays for the Old Moon podcast. You can catch us at Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and it always comes out on my YouTube after Jay puts it up on his YouTube if he's not feeling lazy like a loser. Blue Squadron, there's always two new videos every single day on my channel, and we're always covering things. We're basically moving towards more of a variety streamer that covers BDO primarily, which has been a lot of fun lately. So, yeah, from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.